This episode of Sex Nerd Sandra is sponsored by AdamandEve.com. They're offering some pretty sweet deals, friends. It's kind of ridiculous. Type in promo code SEXNERD at checkout and score awesome goodies. First, 50% off almost any item, which is rad. And then, of course, free shipping, which is my fave. 3 free adult DVDs and an extra spicy secret little gift. Ooh. Now, of course, I'm going to take a commercial and turn it into a learning moment. So, in celebration of this week's topic on a common roadblock to sexual pleasure, which is genital pain, I've found a helpful little tool on their site, the Waterproof Prostate Massager. It's $26.95, and the funny thing about this is that I realize it's designed, or it says it's for anal play, but actually, because it's only a half an inch thick, it's very long and has an angled head. It's perfect for someone who has a very hard time getting anything large in. So it's helpful as a starter dilator. And the angled head is great for massaging out trigger points vaginally. And we'll get into all that fun anatomy stuff later about what a trigger point is. So, and it vibrates, which is yay. And you can also, of course, play with it for your prostate or just anally. Of course, no base without a trace, so be careful because there's no base on this toy. So anyway, go to adamandeve.com, type in sexnerd as a promo code, and get 50% off any item, almost any item, free shipping, 3 free DVDs, and a super secret gift. Ugh, they had me at free shipping.
Hey, sex nerds. This is Dave Ross. I co-host this show. This isn't Sandra. Just letting you know. I have some stand-up dates coming up, and I would love to see some of you out at the shows. The tour is called Feelings, a comedy tour. It goes from May 26th to June 1st. And so the cities we're hitting are Phoenix on May 26th, and then Austin on May 29th, Houston on May 30th, San Antonio on May 31st, and Albuquerque on June 1st. And then we have a final show in Los Angeles on June 2nd. That's my storytelling show, Two-Headed Beast. So, yeah, please come to the shows. They're not that expensive, and we're good at what we do. For more about it, go to feelingstour.tumblr.com or facebook.com/feelingstour. Thanks.
Now entering nerdist.com.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
Hello, sex nerds. Hi. So today, I just wanted to jump right into it. We are going to be talking about this phenomenon called 50 Shades of Grey that everyone's been reading. When I say everyone, I mean, lots of women generally are reading this book. I haven't met a single man that's actually read this book, so lots of females. So today I've got Mary, Mistress Mary from a few other episodes. Hello, welcome.
Hello, thank you.
And Dave DeRoss.
Hello.
Welcome. Okay, so the reason that I just busted through this book in the past week is because, well, first of all, I found out about this book because I taught a room full of basically Orange County housewife type women.
Oh yeah. Them.
Yeah. They, yeah, they, and I hadn't heard of this. And one of the women was like, have you heard of 50 Shades of Grey? It's amazing. Everyone's reading it. All the moms are reading it. Like, so this is the book that all the women with children and with big houses and are reading and going crazy and suddenly going to this world of BDSM. And it seems it's fascinating. And I started noticing it in the store that we both work in, mm-hmm. when all these guys started coming in with just picking up baskets and just tossing all of the props from the book into the basket, not knowing why they were buying it, just knowing that their girlfriend or wife really needs the things in the book. So they're buying rope with no idea of what to do with the rope. And they're just going home. And I'm like, okay, would you like a bondage book with that? So it's kind of weird. So I find that concerning when people start doing that kind of stuff. But for me, reading the book finally this week, it was actually a really personal journey because I personally had a relationship with a dominant that I miss. And so reading it was actually very kind of a sad and retrospective sort of like remembrance of a time when I had a relationship, you know, not with a billionaire, but so that's what's going on with me reading the book. So it's really exciting. Oh, spoiler alert. Okay, I'm going to be really River Song Doctor Who about this, but really this is going to, we're just going to talk about the book. So if you really don't know what happens in sex scene number 4, you might want to turn this off and skip ahead. But
all right, I'll see you later.
Except for Dave. Dave's not allowed.
Dave, oh, I don't think you would get past page 1.
I had literally no plans of reading it. But
to get into the mind of someone who finds this kind of stuff hot, and I've seen the faces of women who are like, I had no idea that I would like this book. Like, just the look on their face, like this weird awakening that they're having, is really beautiful and bizarre to see. Like, I actually had a woman say,
so wait, okay. I thought what you were saying was that you have sat and watched someone read the book and like, oh, look at their eyes get big. I'm writing this down.
No. I'll like ask women in the store, like, have you read the book? You know, and they'll start talking about like, yes, it's so hot at this. And one woman especially was just like, looked down. She was real quiet when she was shopping, like real quiet, like, and didn't even look like someone who'd be into it. You know, she just looked really conservative, and she just, the way she looked up at me, and she's like, I didn't think I would like that. It was really a beautiful moment where I was like, whoa.
Wow. I mean, it's so good to hear these things, because I do the buying for the pleasure chest, and I started hearing like all of this stuff like coming in from the different stores saying like people are requesting this book, people are requesting it. So, but it wasn't out yet. It was an ebook for so long. But I mean, the great thing about this book, this terrible book, I think it's, I'm not going to dog on it all this whole time, but
let's disclose. Are this disclosure time?
Yeah, this is disclosure.
Okay. Disclosure time means we are going into a segment called There Are Serious Issues With This Book, and we're going to talk about those. We're going to have a little bitch fest.
It's a weird title.
To get
disclosure time.
Before we get into the sexy stuff. Okay, go.
Well, first of all, the reason that I'm reading this book is partly for my own knowledge, but mostly because I'm going to teach a class about it. And I think I'm a good person to teach a class about it, because I have lots of SM experience, and I'm looking forward to explaining to and talking with people about the way we can do this in a safe and fun way, because it's not expressed that way in the book. Mm-hmm. And also talk about some of the things that are not realistic and don't make any sense. So that's the reason that I am forcing myself to read this book, which I would never read. In general, like the classics I have trouble with, like Story of O and, you know, Venus and Furs and you know.
Venus and Furs? I don't even know about that one.
What?
I have a lot of reference material that is nonfiction.
Okay, you have to read Venus and Furs, or at least try to, like I did, because it is. It was written by Masoch, whose name masochism comes from.
Ooh.
So that's a little history there for you.
Ooh,
but
wow. Yeah, that's hot.
That is awesome.
Yeah, but both of those books, and the same thing with the, like, you know, all the Marquis de Sade books, where sadism comes from, is a very repetitive, you know, and so focused on this sex element or the BDSM element that it's just, you're reading kind of the same things over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Although I'd say Story of O is probably the better one. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but so it's never been that appealing to me. I'd rather live it, you know, than read about it. But, but disclosure, this book is in my eyes, poorly written. Mm-hmm. Like it is. I think it's terrible.
Interesting.
I think it's... All right, and that is not to say that they're not
Should
moments.
Should I read a passage?
Yeah.
Do you want me to read a passage? I actually got requested on Twitter to read this book.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
I might be able to find you a good passage in there. At the same time, though, there's moments where I'm like, where I slow down and I'm like, that's hot. That's hot.
Yeah.
And there's some good ideas in there that I never thought of, and so I have a certain appreciation
like
for
crops?
It. But, what? Yeah, I never thought of sucking on a crop. No, the whole Kegel ball spanking thing is a really good idea.
You know, I didn't think about that either. The shaking,
a really good idea.
Wearing smart balls or Kegel balls that have little tiny ball bearings in them that move when you spank—that's what we're talking about right now.
By wearing, inserting them vaginally.
Yes, right now on your earlobes.
So, I mean, there's some good stuff in there, and I truly appreciate that there's this whole group of people that never would have come into the store or come into, you know, BDSM in any way had it not been for this book. So, I value this book. At the same time, it is poorly written. Mm-hmm. It is very repetitive. I think, like, I wanted to start highlighting how many times she refers to the length of his fingers, long mm-hmm. fingers, long fingers. I counted eight times before I stopped counting, but it was by page 43, she had mentioned long fingers eight times. And I was like, really? Like, isn't this what an editor is for? Like, does she not have an editor?
Okay. So we know, I'm pretty sure this was self-published.
It originally was, right?
But right. Then, and I don't know if they would have edited it and Dave is flipping through.
Still over here reading the
book.
On page two.
I think that she, as a novelist, I think, because, like, it's funny because the bio is in the very front instead of the back, and it says, like, this is her first, like, what does it say?
When
she finally plucked
thing,
up
right?
the courage to put pen to paper with her first novel. So this is her first novel. She self-published it. She needed an editor. She needed a thesaurus.
Yeah.
She needed, some things are way over described. Some things are under described. There are issues.
Yeah.
But she does have a great understanding, I think, of human nature and character arc. And some of that, like,
I wouldn't agree with that.
She's created two, but, okay, so the two characters, Anastasia Steele and Christian Grey. Oh, we should probably set up what the book is.
First of all, his name is Christian Grey.
Christian Grey, what did I say?
And her name, no, you said that.
Oh.
I just want to make sure people, and her name is Anastasia Steele. That's my first problem.
Yeah, no, it's super,
I actually agree with that
super
problem.
Cheesy. It's super cheesy.
It's cheesy.
I don't read romance novels, but I feel like this is like a hybrid between a romance novel.
Right, right.
You know, with the shirtless guy on the front and she's like on a hill or something crying or something. And then
I do miss those old Danielle Steele novels of which I've read every one.
Yeah, those got me through some hard times.
Do we have any more disclosures of what we are hating about this book?
I mean, we can get into the
Christian Grey thing goes pretty deep for me. It's too bad his name's not like Christian Douche. And then the book could be called 50 Shades of Douche.
That would be much more appropriate.
You really hate this book.
I really hate this book. But, but I appreciate it. I don't want to totally dog on the book. But, I mean, we were talking earlier about, like, just even, like, the writing style. There's this whole thing where everything is in order. So it's like...
Oh, you mean that they're not flashing back, but they're going in...
They don't even need to flash back. It's like there's this part where, like, okay, now you know tomorrow. They've been talking about tomorrow is her graduation. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm sitting here like, God damn, I got to sit through this fucking graduation. Right. Mm-hmm. And then she goes to sleep and then she the next chapter,
it's like in real time.
Well, yeah. And then the next chapter, she's in this great SM scene. And I was like, oh, my heart just melted. I was like, thank you. Thank you for not subjecting me to this stupid graduation, you know? And then she wakes up from the dream and goes to the fucking graduation. I was like, God, why can't you just move forward? Like, why do we have to sit
forward at the
everything?
Graduation? The plot moved forward at the graduation.
There was a terrible, boring graduation that we all had to sit through.
Yeah, but we learned about how good her best friend is at giving speeches. Okay.
Why?
I will be on the No Math Allowed podcast talking to Nerdist Industries' own Jessica Barton. She's a book nerd, so she writes about books and whatnot. And she's really into books. So I'm going to be talking about this book a bit because we're going to talk about all my favorite sex books and whatnot. So I'm going to talk about this more in terms of book nerdiness, but I want to get into the sex. So any other disclosures? Because I have one that I really have to get off
my
chest.
Do it.
It bothers me that the character doesn't have an email address until he insists on one, and she doesn't have a laptop or any kind of computer.
That was ridiculous.
She was in college.
Yeah,
right?
Okay, she's in college. She's 21.
It happened in present day?
Yes, it's 2011, period. It's not a period piece at all. She doesn't have a computer and she's graduating from college.
It was ridiculous and didn't have an email address.
And she's not in poverty.
That's not possible. It's not possible.
Yeah, she's like, I have an email address. Like, she's so surprised.
Oh, me, I'm so fancy. I have an email address.
And she wants to go
into
publishing.
In fairness, I just got a mailbox,
That's reasonable.
Is it? I don't know.
You ever had a mailbox before or do you mean like a P.O. box?
Well, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Either way, yes, it's crazy. But I mean, did that derail you from liking the book?
Yes. Sorry.
Well, it was, it really, it, for all of the understanding of human nature, like, I'm a romantic. I'm a severe romantic. And so I just forgave some of the cheesiness because I do enjoy a nice story. Oh, guys, don't judge me.
I do enjoy a nice story.
The disconnect.
That's adorable.
The disconnect from reality when you're like, seriously? Like, you know, when you just like, what? When a character in a movie or whatnot does something that's so like confusing because it doesn't even make sense. And that to me, no email address doesn't make any sense. And no computer, because like she's not in abject poverty. She was in college. Her family does have some money. There's no reason for her not to have a computer. So that I just immediately was like,
yeah. How was she? She was an English major. How is she typing her papers?
Right, borrowing her. I mean, we're all on the computer all the time.
This person had no computer. Okay, we're and no email address. We can make a whole episode out of this.
Yeah, this is really upsetting.
All right, we should move.
Okay.
What college did you go to? What's your number?
Portland.
Okay, moving on to the sex.
Sex.
All right. So this has clearly struck a chord with humanity's females in America that it seems to be just females, vanilla females who never even thought that they would be into this. I mean, like New York Times bestseller list. I mean, it's ridiculous. Number one.
Yeah, before it was even published. It was in.
Yeah. Before you could even hold the book. I mean, it blew up. Like
How did that happen?
It was an ebook.
But there are plenty of things that are very, very good that like stay mired in obscurity forever.
That's what's driving me crazy is that it is such a poorly written book, but it is like really resonating with people, and that it was just a self-published ebook. So how did it even like take off? I mean, it was just must be this wildfire word of mouth type of thing.
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of things. I mean, you can hire PR companies. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into making a bestseller that, you know, is not my forte. But it is clearly tapping into that. People wouldn't be like freaking out about this book, and you wouldn't be teaching a class on it next week.
Right.
If people, it's tapping into something. For me, it tapped in. Okay. It's like the Harry Potter books. Harry Potter is a muggle at the beginning. He has no idea he's magical.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get to be in awe of the wizarding world from that point of view of this kid who's like, I've been abused my entire life, and suddenly you're telling me I'm special, and I'm on this fucking train with magic frog chocolates, and you know, oh my god, it's a castle.
You need to review books. And then I'm on this fucking train. What's going on?
It's just Harry Potter. So you get to, he's not just like, hey, I'm a wizard, come with me on this wizard journey and this adventure. It's like you're waking up with him. And so Anastasia is very much like classic vanilla, has no idea what's going on, has these odd sort of jumping to reference points like, oh, you like BDSM, you like to abuse me, you like to hurt me, and why do you, I thought you liked me, you know, and she has all these odd assumptions about what it means to BDSM. Of course, he's terrible at explaining it, so which is really frustrating. He has a lot of money. Why didn't he hire me or you to talk to her about the basics of BDSM before?
He's not real.
That's
fantasy.
A good point.
So irritating.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to go. Like, it's so...
Is this situation... Do you think this situation happens a lot?
What?
That's what I'm curious about. Just someone who is very into BDSM courting someone who knows nothing about it and then teaches them about it and it becomes their lifestyle. Like, that's...
Yeah, like an apprenticeship.
I think it happens fairly often.
Really?
Because you have a smaller pool to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's certain people that are definitely attracted to people that don't know anything about BDSM. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Especially if they're going to be a submissive.
Yeah, and she's even a virgin. She's a 21-year-old virgin.
Oh, my God.
Which speaks to the people who are listening, because there are lots of virgins in their 20s. And at first I was like, God, why is she a virgin at 21? Like, and then I realized, wait, that's like all the people listening.
No, and that's cool. That's cool, but... just the way she loses her virginity
when
he slams into her.
Yeah, the deflowering is really intense. Okay. I want to like just start jabbering away about all these like random sexual oddities that are happening. But first, I realize that we need to actually explain what the hell this book's about.
Right.
Okay. So do you want to just do a concise little summary? Should I?
Well, I can try. It's
going to be like TV Without Pity, do a synopsis of like TV shows and episodes, but they do it with like sardonic, sarcastic, and angry. So
okay, well, that's my natural state. So this is a book about Anastasia Steele, and...
There is such disdain in your voice when you say that name. This is the book about...
And so she talks to herself incessantly in her head, and she has her subconscious, which is her her angel side, who actually wears angel or winged glasses.
Oh, right.
Did you notice that detail?
Right, the id and the superego.
And then there's her inner goddess is the, I guess, supposedly, like, I guess, not the devil side, but the free, loving, can't, like, dances and claps her hands often whenever something SME happens.
And pole vaults, even when she's really excited.
God, yeah. And then
my inner goddess just pole vaulted over the.
I'm so confused.
She constantly refers to her subconscious being pissed at her, or her inner goddess dancing and pole vaulting based on whatever's happening in her life.
It's very Ally McBeal.
And yeah, and so she meets this guy, Christian Grey, whom she goes to interview in place of her roommate who was ill, and who is this,
who is the beautiful best friend.
Beautiful best friend who is valedictorian and is super rich, but not quite as rich as Christian Grey.
And overshadows her, and she's like feeling really, she's the ugly duckling best friend.
Right. But apparently she's gorgeous.
No clue. She's
And we never get a description of her, but other people seem to be smitten with her all the time, including like every male she runs into. But she doesn't want any of them, and she's never even kissed, and she does not masturbate.
And she's never had a sexual urge.
She's never had a sexual urge. She's never liked anyone until she meets Christian Grey. And she's very clumsy, and she trips a lot and falls flat on her face or gets caught by Christian Grey. So anyway, Christian is...
This is how I don't ever want to read a book again. I just want you to tell me what happens to them. And then this asshole. Let me tell you about this piece of shit.
So Christian is the adopted son of some rich people, but apparently until he was 4, he was with his, as he describes it, crack whore mother, and was apparently abused in some way that left him pockmarked scars on his chest, but he swears weren't from cigarette burns. So anyway, when he was 15, this all comes out, but when he was 15, his mother's friend brought him into the world of BDSM and was his dom and kept him from the path of his birth mother, apparently. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so ever since then, after that relationship stopped, he's been dominant, and he can only have these relationships, and he doesn't do roses and flowers and or whatever, chocolate, and he doesn't do making love. He only fucks and all of this stuff.
He
and
has
so,
a lot of
but he is
boundaries.
Obsessed with Anastasia Steele, and she is obsessed with him, and they have this whole thing where he wants her to sign this contract of all these BDSM for basically a, you know, a very strict BDSM relationship, and she wants to be, you know, in love and have, you know, kissy time and sleep in the same bed together and stuff like that.
Well, he won't sleep in the same bed with her.
Yeah. So there's this back and forth constantly. And so they keep on conceding to each other, which leads to a fair amount of vanilla sex and a fair amount of BDSM sex, but nothing too hardcore.
Yeah, I was expecting like hardcore. Like somebody was like, oh my God, there's a period scene. Like where there's, you know, she's on her period. And I imagine blood play, like she has to like, taste it or like, so it's getting smeared around or something. No, they just have sex while she's on her period.
Yeah.
And he happens to pull out her tampon in a very dominant fashion.
That was probably the most shocking thing for me. I was like, whoa.
Oh, really? I just imagine that being
just
humiliating.
Because I have weird shame around tampons where I'm like, don't look at it. I don't know why. I'd be like, whoa, don't touch that. I'll take care of it.
I could see being a similar way,
actually.
Don't take
Can't really
away
relate,
from my
but...
menstruation.
Yeah.
I mean,
like if
but
I had
have...
to have something inside of my penis, I probably wouldn't want, like, there's a string coming out the front of my penis. So I'd be like, just let me deal with that.
It's a personal item. It's a personal item.
Yeah, it's me.
So
it's mine.
Whereas, but contrarily, like, I am totally fine with somebody, like, going down and when I'm on my period and, like, smearing blood all over their face. But I'm like, don't touch my
tampon. I have not had that experience. Interesting. I have not had that.
That is
interesting. Haven't lived.
I haven't lived.
One thing that I think is important is that this obsessiveness gets, I think, out of hand. And this is where I disagree with you about her having some sort of insight into how people actually are or character or whatever. Because, like, he's constantly doing things against her will, like when she drunk dials him and then he tracks her phone to find out where she is and then just shows up and, you know, somewhat forcibly mm-hmm. takes her away. Mm-hmm. Or, and then he does all of these really creepy stalkery things. Like she goes to visit, you know, her mother in Georgia mm-hmm. and he can't be without her for 4 days. So he flies his jet out there and just shows up at some bar that they're hanging out in. And that was the point when that happened. Mm. When that happened, I was like, all right, this guy is not only a creepy stalker, but he has everything at his disposal. Mm-hmm. He could stalk you forever, no matter where you went. You would never be able to get away from this guy. And that's what would have been going through my head. And I'd be like, I'm in a fucked up situation. And I have to like change my name and disappear.
See, now,
you know, but she was like romantic.
No, but by that point, they were actually in a relationship. I have myself jumped on a plane when I miss someone or driven like overnight to see someone that I miss.
Okay, but did you do it after knowing them for about 2 weeks? I mean, they know each other at this point for like 2 weeks.
This is
I'm like, you can't fucking let me visit my mother, you know, for 4 days.
No, at first, though, I mean, it was like, oh, but then she's like, oh, I really want to see you. I miss you. I miss you. And then you're like, I mean, she's totally like, I want to see you. Like,
if I was her mother, I'd be very upset.
Yeah. For me, like, this is a little bit of a Romeo and Juliet novel where, like, you know, Romeo and Juliet, like, fall in love, get married, and, like, die within 4 days, you know? Like, it's just a sped up version of a
romance.
Yeah,
but there's two more books.
What do you mean it's a sped up version? How long? What's the timeline? Is it over
it's
the course
like
of, like, a
weeks.
Month? Whoa, really?
Yeah. I think
you have to sit through every day.
Yeah, it's a really intense romance for sure. But like,
is the contract that you were talking about in the book?
Contract's ridiculous, yes.
Yeah, the contract's ridiculous. But it's not entirely ridiculous, but it's, I mean, this is something I want to talk about in my class. It's like, contracts are amazing, wonderful way to really solidify a BDSM relationship. But it is not something that you do when you have just met someone, you're a virgin, and you've never been spanked in your life.
But is that the way that a BDSM relationship generally goes? Because in my mind, I don't know. I've never thought of BDSM as encompassing an entire relationship. Mm-hmm. I guess now that I think about it, it makes sense that exists. Anything can exist.
Yeah, they're called 24/7 relationships.
Yeah.
So you sign this contract and you have safe words and just all day, all the time, you mm-hmm. are submissive to that person or mm-hmm. dominant over that person mm-hmm. in
right.
whatever way.
And I mean, you could just be hanging out watching TV and like you still go grocery shopping and live your life. But
sure.
If they're like, kneel down now, you kneel down, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, like, I haven't personally like been in that, but like,
sounds intense.
Yeah, it can be.
Well, the idea is really hot, you know, mm-hmm. and there's plenty of people that really, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a 24/7 thing. It could be like when we're playing, these are the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
it's a way of negotiating. I can show it to you. Here's part of the contract if you want to see it. It goes forward and back.
Oh, I was reading part of this.
So it's great. I love the part where, you know, they're basically really laying everything out on the table. Mm-hmm. And
like, you have to sleep 8 hours.
Right. You know, and in that sort of, that 24/7 or the lifestyle kind of BDSM is really appealing in that way where every little aspect of your life, you're doing it out of the love and submission towards your dominant, mm-hmm. you know. So when you eat a meal, you're doing it because you're eating that certain thing at that certain time because of that. Mm-hmm. So it makes your whole life really, mm-hmm. really sexy.
Like a ritual.
Yeah. And it gives you a lot of purpose for everything mm-hmm. you're doing. So I really appreciate all of that and I love that they're introducing that to people, but it's just at the wrong time. Like, why would you? I know more than this virgin mm-hmm. girl.
I just realized I didn't actually set up that you were a dom for many years, because people may have not listened to previous episodes you were on, so that's important
right.
to note that for about 10 years, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm more of a submissive just sexually, but I've never like, I mean, like, I'll teach sensuality, but I'm not like a...
Right. Well, and I love being submissive also. I just mm-hmm. never did that professionally. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would enjoy that professionally. But, you know, with my partners, I actually prefer being submissive.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I have a much easier time being dominant with people that I don't know. Mm-hmm. Once I know somebody, I'm more self-conscious and I'm less apt to be, mm-hmm. like, mean and hurtful. In a good way, you know,
wow.
But what do you got there?
This contract is incredible. I just didn't realize how detailed. Is this typical, like, in a 24/7 relationship?
Like, soft limits, hard limits.
It's so detailed. Here, I'll read a passage from it. Appendix 1, rules. Sleep. The submissive will ensure she achieves a minimum of 8 hours of sleep a night when she is not with the dominant. Food. The submissive will eat regularly to maintain her health and well-being from a prescribed list of foods. The submissive will not snack between meals with the exception of fruit.
Mm-hmm. Although they did negotiate after
creating
that.
A body that he likes. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or maintaining
well,
one
yeah,
that
he
I likes.
Don't think you got to the part where she has a personal trainer that she'll meet with 4 days out of the week.
Wow.
That is very dominant.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's, there's, I mean, to me, when I'm reading that, that's actually the more appealing part of the book.
I'm like, and I want a personal trainer.
I know. I'm
yeah,
like,
that's actually a good point.
Yeah.
I want some food. You serious? I'll free food.
Yeah.
Fruit? I'll take fruit.
I do like fruit. But yeah, I don't know if there's really a typical kind of contract. I mean, I think it's just however those people want to go about it.
Sure.
I mean, this contract might become more typical because of this book, but there's been contracts in the past. Like, I think in Story of O, she signs a contract, which is very short, like, I own you now, period.
And it's not legally enforceable, and they talk about that.
Right.
It's more an agreement between people, like a marriage contract. I do like but that...
Never mind.
They talk about hard limits and soft limits. Like, she's like, I don't want to be fisted. You know, and he's like, all right, no fisting. And
he's
I
like,
don't...
even anally?
No, he wants to own her ass.
And then there's like
point.
A... boom. Even anally?
Yeah.
Sorry.
No. Yeah, but no, there's a distinction between vaginal fisting and anal fisting.
Right.
And I was like, vaginal, yes, anal, ooh, wow.
Yeah.
It's a big man hand, you know.
That is a big man hand. Oh, well, long fingers, too.
I can consider maybe with your little hand.
I do have very little, I've got a beginner's
look
fist.
Those little knuckles.
Silent duck.
It's fascinating to me. Obviously, I haven't read this book, but that contract is large and intense and very specific.
Oh, it's
and
big.
It's fascinating to me. That with that being included in the relationship and this being an all-encompassing relationship, that it's so accessible. That's what's fascinating to me.
What do you mean that it's so accessible?
It's a New York Times bestseller.
Oh, you mean that the book is accessible?
Yeah.
Right.
It creates a lot of structure. I mean, I like contracts. Like, I like to see in black and white what someone expects, you know, and what is expected. You know, like, I like that idea. I think that... I like the sexual contract part that you didn't. You didn't read that part, but like
no.
Where there's a list of sex acts that, and then they do negotiate back and forth, and she's like mm-hmm. no to the food thing, like that's a hard no, and he respects that. So there, it's nice negotiation, but it's intense to see that her entire life, including her sleeping schedule, is something he'd like.
But
to control.
It is.
It's great that I mean the book is basically centered around this. This contract
mm-hmm.
and I think that's awesome because there's it's really centered around negotiating sexual practices and
it
actually
really
talking
is.
About them because in most like vanilla relationships there won't be any discussion about what you like or what you don't like or what's okay and not, and people are just kind of like timidly acting them out, or maybe not so timidly, but you know, you have to find out that somebody doesn't want to try anal sex by, you know, sticking your thumb over there. Mm-hmm. And seeing your reaction, you know, mm-hmm. which it's just much nicer to just talk it all out mm-hmm. or even sign a contract.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a great point, yeah.
And he's phenomenal in bed. The fantasy, I mean, it is the
fantasy.
Oh, I mean, they're having like spontaneous orgasms. What am I saying? Simultaneous orgasms, like constantly. And it just makes me laugh because it's like, what were you saying the other day? Like, because he said, oh, her best friend's all like.
Oh, this is bad. Okay. So she loses her virginity. To this guy, she first has, before he ever penetrates her, has an orgasm from him sucking on her nipples, which happens for all of like 3 seconds.
Whoa.
And so she has an orgasm there. And then, you know, she's all hot and bothered and he slams into her the first time and she immediately has an orgasm. Which is very similar to my experience losing my virginity. Not really. But then she goes home and talks to her roommate, and she was like, did you come? And she's like, yeah. And her roommate's like, oh, you're so lucky. My first time was terrible. It took me like a month before I started coming vaginally. And I was like, what, bitch? What? Really?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I know it's
atypical.
A fantasy. I know it's a fantasy, but...
And I'm just totally getting turned on by a lot of that. I mean, she is good at some sex scenes. Like, there's
some good
sex scenes in here. And I'm like, ideas? I'm getting more ideas? I like this thing that's happening. But when something like that is clearly and it just like ridiculous, where you're like, oh, yeah, it took me a month. Like, oh
really?
Gag me. I mean, some people are highly orgasmic. Cool, but come on, girl talk. Right. Let's be real.
Yeah,
seriously.
That's
the sex scenes. Let's have some fantasy, but girl talk. Let's keep it real. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Or just leave that part out. I don't want to hear about it.
You're just like, you're pissing off
I'm
Mary.
Still, you know, I'm still working on mine.
Okay, so why is this striking a chord? We need to talk about this because we're kind of bitching a lot, but I'd really like to talk about why is this, I mean, well, I know we come from an odd standpoint where we're like, work more in this, you know, sex education industry and we have experience in BDSM. For people who haven't, this is waking them up inside and making them excited and happy. Why is that? Do you have any theories? I got really interviewy there. It feels weird when I do that.
I don't have theories about necessarily why. I think you probably have more theories. And also you're much more connected working with people one-on-one every day. I'm looking forward to asking my class about the theories. I have theories as to why, like I saw this Newsweek article when I was at my doctor's office, and it was about 50 Shades, and there was this whole thing about why is it that women are so enticed by the idea of being submissive when, you know, they've worked so hard to for equality, and that, you know, pay is almost equal and there's more women in college and everything, so there's been all these gains. Why do women want to be submissive? And they had lots of these theories about, like, you know, women are just deep down submissive, and it's like a pining for old, you know, kind of 50s.
That's
type,
a terrible article.
You know, it was terrible. So that pissed me off. And
highly inaccurate. Like, immediately I'm like, yeah, no, that is not.
God. So my theories about that is that, one, almost everybody, not almost everybody, but most people, I guess that's the same, like being submissive, male or female. Mm-hmm. Like, whenever you go to any play space, there's always way more subs than doms. It's mm-hmm. fun to be submissive. It's fun. You trust somebody and you put yourself in their hands and you don't think, you just feel mm-hmm. and act, and that's awesome, and you're desired and you're being sure. played with. But what was the... Oh, I had another theory.
Yeah.
That I can't remember right now. Anyway, why will you tell me why you think people like this book in particular versus, like, other erotica that's better written?
Well, I think that Jesus. I think that it's written very well in that, like I said, with the Harry Potter thing, is that you get to wake up with her, and the main character is written as someone that is fighting it and isn't really submissive. Like, she's not into submission, but she is finding that weird juxtaposition of rebellion and anger and fear, but then also being turned on because he is, you know, the character, Christian Grey, is very skilled at what he does, and that she's experiencing a spanking where she's both turned on and in pain and scared and mad. And, like, so she gives voice to that. Mm-hmm. So you feel, so as the person who's like, like, if she were just like, oh, I like this all of a sudden, oh my God, I'm a submissive, like, you'd be like, what? But you'd like, she takes you step by step. So she's like baby stepping the person.
That's a good point.
You know?
I remembered my other point. Was that
she's all like, oh,
book
yeah,
sucks.
Cool.
No. Bad book.
No, I think that's it. I truly think it's a good point. No, my other point was that in order to feel like you can let go of power, you have to have power in mm-hmm. the first place. So I think that's part of why there might be this awakening of women feeling like it's okay for them to be submissive, because you know, it doesn't feel good to give up your power when you're already being, you know, subjugated in your life anyway.
That's a very good point.
Thank mm-hmm. you.
Yeah.
Good points all around, except for you, Dave. You
didn't really. I didn't make a single point. No. Well, I didn't read the book. By the
important.
Way,
you could be sleeping with someone next week, possibly, who is really into this
crazy.
Book. And understand, you know, this is important stuff. You got to pay attention because
sure,
because then you can, like, rock a world with knowledge from the book. Okay.
Yeah.
No. I agree. Okay. What was I going to say? Yeah, you're right about empowerment. I'm sure that has a lot to do with it. Also, it seems like, it seems very well laid out, mm-hmm. and like you said, baby steps through it.
Yeah.
I didn't read the book, but that conversation that they have about what's okay and not okay, I mm-hmm. think is probably one of the bigger reasons why, because that's very revealing. Like, yeah. Oh, okay, so this isn't just us beating the shit out of each other, right?
Right. And they have it over and over again, and it changes mm-hmm. once she knows more or less. But you were talking about the spanking earlier, and I actually really appreciated that first spanking scene, because she goes through this whole thing that you I've not seen in erotica before. Mm-hmm. Like one that it like he's giving a corporal punishment spanking, mm-hmm. which he does a warm up, you know, sensational spanking later on, which I think is great. I'm going to talk about in my class, but it's like
corporal meaning you just start wailing.
Corporal punishment means it's like this is a punishment. This isn't for fun. So punishment should hurt. So there's no warm up. You don't ease into it. You just go for it. So she's having this corporal punishment spanking and it hurts, but she's having this thought going in her head where she's like, I can do this. And there's that kind of like determination that as a submissive you can get, you know, and I'm going to mm-hmm. show him that I can do this. And there's like that toughness to being a submissive.
I love that part.
Right. It's like, that's what, yeah, I get a little pride in that. so there's that. And then there's also her talking about her feeling afterwards. Like she started to get a little bit of that sub high afterwards mm-hmm. where her endorphins were going and everything. So, you know, he spanks her and then they fuck and then she's kind of like giddy and elated afterwards. And she's like so surprised and her butt's all warm and tingly. And oh, and they all, and she also talks about how the spanking just like wakes up all of her nerves, mm-hmm. you know? So, you know, I really think that the author has had quite a few spankings mm-hmm. before and gets like the spanking thing. So it was nice. I really enjoyed that yeah. part of the book.
Yeah. That's why I've given a lot of the other stuff that is problematic with the book. I've forgiven it because she does take.
Well, it's
you
good
into
that it exists.
Mind.
Yeah, you know the fact that most people, that so many people mm-hmm. like it is mm-hmm. great for all of you.
Actually, you know what? The empowerment thing was actually that reminded me of a thing. A lot of I don't know. We all have our own body issues. You know, everybody has issues with how they look and how people perceive them. And this main character, you learn through the way, like when he undresses her, she has shame around her body mm-hmm. where she'll like look down and kind of like hide her face if he just wants to like look at her naked body. And he keeps saying like, you're beautiful. Like, stop. Like, I want you to like hold yourself high because you're beautiful to me. So stop with this shame thing. And like, he keeps giving her a hard time about it, and like she really does like sex hair. Like she hates how she looks after sex because she doesn't like sex hair. Sex hair is hot, and so like
it's
when
the
she's
best hair.
She's
I
like,
try
I look terrible with sex
yeah,
hair like every time, and I'm like, dude, yeah, no, sex hair is great. I'm like, why can't I just
huge fan?
I put yeah. so much product in my hair to try to have sex hair. Yeah. This is what I get.
Yeah,
body issues.
I love your hair.
Thank you.
Okay, so with the body shame thing, she does. It's like she almost starts. It's almost like this journey, even though it's into submission, she starts to really feel more empowered. Like, mm-hmm. you notice that both characters actually have terrible communication skills at the beginning of the book. Like, terrible. And it's just weird. And the BDSM is strange. And why is he not showing her BDSM before she signs this contract? All of it's very strange. And then near the last part of the book, they're actually starting to open up and truly talk about their insecurities and their fears and whatnot. And I'm like, oh, they're role modeling, opening up, and good communication yeah. skills. So I did enjoy that. So...
No,
that
was good.
Yeah.
It was good.
I don't know. What else? Why? I mean, the sex scenes are hot. The sex scenes are just plain old hot, even if they don't make sense. And she's way more orgasmic than, I mean, he can do her anywhere with anything. He could be using any implement and it seems like she'd come, which some women are like that, but most aren't. So that is highly frustrating because I want her to earn her orgasms more. Like I would like to be taken.
Me too.
Yes, yes. That's part of it, because I actually would have really enjoyed it if, especially like a woman who's a virgin and has never masturbated in her life.
Mm-hmm.
I just would imagine that it would take a little bit of time for her to like open up yeah. and relax and, mm-hmm. and be okay with all of this. And I think it would be nice to show, you know, the extent of that and even revealing the SM in that way too. But maybe that would be mm-hmm. an entirely different mm-hmm. book.
Although, you know, what's funny is that the first time I had sex, she's heard David's really laughing at her displeased look.
That would be a totally different book.
The first time I had sex, I almost had an orgasm.
Wow, not me.
No, but like I got very close, but then he came, so we didn't. But I was like, whoa. And I'd had an orgasm like via vibrator before, but like I didn't know that. Like, it was really overwhelming. And then, of course, I went and, like...
Sure.
Other things happened, and then I just stopped being orgasmic for a long time, which is a whole story. P.S., we're going to have Megan Andelow on the show, who's... Andelow? I just totally said her her name wrong. Megan Andiu on the show, and she's is a total sex nerd from Rhode Island who does amazing work in the medical community. And we're going to be talking all about orgasm, and I'm so excited. It's going to be really nerdy, so stay tuned for that. Okay. That Newsweek article totally, you know, like, oh, women just secretly want to just be back in medieval times and be submissive and whatnot, I think is inaccurate. But there is something to being able to have trust in someone.
Yes.
And being able to relax as, like, woman of the world or anybody who's, like, working a job and going out and having to deal with life. It's so nice just to relax and have someone else take over.
Oh, I mean, the fantasy of this book, I would love, you know, it, of course, like a Christian Grey, mega handsome underwear model who rules over Seattle and has jets and things and wants to take you to his amazing, gigantic loft apartment type thing where you have your own room and it's adjacent to the play space and you are served hand and foot and like buying you weird cars.
It's a great fantasy. It's an amazing fantasy.
You know, and you just have crazy orgasmic BDSM sex all the time. And I'm like, oh, yes, of course. That sounds awesome. Let's do that.
It's very appealing. I mean, I might. You know?
Yeah, I can see you there.
Need to find my Christian Grey.
We should go to the Christian Grey.
You know what's really funny, actually? Oh, sorry. You were going to say something?
I was just going to say, the other thing is that most people, I don't think, are as cynical as you or I. And I'm not calling you more cynical than me. I'm very cynical.
I'm pretty cynical.
What?
I think anytime you're involved in anything, you're a nerd about something, anytime you're involved in any world, you're going to get a little bit cynical about stuff. And I don't think a lot of people come across fantasy stories about sex that often. Mm-hmm. And if one, you know, comes into their field of view, you know, it's easier to like than for you or me.
Yeah, I'm trying to be positive about it.
Oh no,
is it not showing?
You're doing terrible.
You're being great. And I don't think this will be the last time that I refer to this book, because it's end disclosure, I haven't read the very end of it, so if something like twists at the end, I'm gonna have to go off, you know, like, because I'm like scared about the last couple pages. Like,
yeah.
You have 2 pages left?
No.
Just read it.
I've got a little section. I have read all day today. I had like very little sleep last night.
Hey, me too, sister.
Okay, last night I went to D&D. One, it was funny because I was trying to rush through this book and they started fighting about loot distribution, which I care nothing about, which is like when we, like, you know, find treasure and don't look at me like that. And then where it all goes, I don't care personally as long as
I
can go
things. I don't care where it goes. Just put it in my butt.
So I'm reading this book and smiling ridiculously at, like, because I'm like in a really dirty part of the book where I'm just like, hey, this is hot. Like, she's so wet. But they're like fighting and I'm just trying not to look too happy about it. But my friend's sitting next to me and he's always like really affectionate with me. And, you know, he's got a partner and it's really like he's very much a dominant like daddy type. And like I'll like always immediately just go and just like nuzzle his shoulder and be like, and I realize like, oh, I feel so safe with these guys because they're all like really like dommy, adorable, nerdy types. And like I just, it's like my safe place, like where I can just, you know, it's a break from my regular life where I'm dealing with like tons and tons of things and having to be like, oh, I know about sex so much. And
sure,
it's just like, it's my night to be like, I have no idea how to play D&D. I don't understand why that rule is away. Why do I have to roll that dice when I thought I was, why do I have to add that thing to that thing? And they can all, and they're just happy to tell me, and then I can play and kill things. And it's really fun.
Oh, that's great.
So,
I kind of really want to hear Dave read a passage.
Oh, did you find something?
Well, he has such a wonderful, intoxicating voice.
Oh,
and I
God.
Think if he was reading it, it would be lovely.
Try to read it in Christian Grey's voice.
No, don't even try. It's,
you're going to read it
from
Anastasia Steele's voice.
Okay, Dave, read a passage, and then we're going to wrap up our closing thoughts. And I want to, well, yeah, just closing thoughts.
Now Mary's just reading the book.
I know she's just into it.
Trying to find just the right spot. Well, I think this tour down around here, I think, is nice. I actually marked this part of the book because I want to talk about, because we've talked about blowjobs before, mm-hmm. and this part of the book, it's her first blowjob.
Oh, yeah, the first blowjob.
But she has such a good attitude about it. And mm-hmm. it's one of those attitudes, like we've talked before, that it took me a long time to be able to harness that I'm empowered by giving a blowjob type of thing. But she has an empowerment moment there.
BJ's a love story is when we had Mary in to talk about her story of how she fell in love with blowjobs.
It's a lot of fun.
That episode.
Yeah. You should listen to that one. Yeah. I had a lot of fun.
We ended with the blowjob. No, we didn't.
No, we didn't. Yep. Which I still think is wrong.
Go for it, Dave.
Okay, I'm going to read this as I assume Anastasia sounds. Okay.
He releases my hand.
You knew I was going to do that, right?
Yeah. It's like Kermit the Frog.
He releases my hand.
Which is strangely erotic in its own way.
He closes his eyes as I move up and down his length. He flexes his hips slightly into my hand, and reflexively I grasp him tighter. A low groan escapes from his...
Okay.
Oh, my God.
All right.
You can keep going from that moment in your regular voice.
Okay. A low groan escapes from deep within his throat. Fuck my mouth. I remember him pushing his thumb in my... Thanks, guys.
Sorry.
I remember him pushing his thumb in my mouth and asking me to suck hard. His mouth drops open as his breathing increases. I lean forward while he has his eyes closed and place my lips around him and tentatively suck, running my tongue over the tip. Wow. It like took a second for that to sink in. You know, you just read something and you're just reading the words and you're like, holy shit, I just said that out loud into the internet. I just said, that could be someone's ringtone if they wanted. Like, hey, check out this clip of Dave Ross talking about sucking cock.
Go on.
I will. Whoa, Anna. His eyes.
Sorry.
Hey, it's cool. His eyes fly open and I suck harder. He's hard and soft at once, like steel encased in velvet, and surprisingly tasty, salty, and smooth. Christ, he groans, and he closes his eyes again. Moving down, I push him into my mouth. He groans again. Ha! My inner goddess is thrilled. Oh, man. I can do this. I can fuck him with my mouth.
Boom. That's right.
I twirl my tongue around the tip again, and he flexes and raises his hips. His eyes are open now, blistering with heat. His teeth are clenched as he flexes again, and I push him deeper into my mouth, supporting myself on his thighs. I feel his legs tense beneath my hands. He reaches up and grabs my pigtails. Okay. Now I know why this is funny. He reaches up and grabs my pigtails and starts to really move. Oh, baby.
I hate when he says baby.
Oh, he says
it's
baby
so weird.
So much. Baby. Later is baby.
Like, I'm fine with his voice all the time.
Oh, baby. That feels good. He murmurs.
In my mind, he talks in a normal voice, like a sexy, growly, nice voice.
Yeah.
But the minute he says "later's like, baby," like it's like "later's baby," like it gets weird in my head.
Baby,
yeah.
So you think he has like a sexy, gravelly voice?
Yeah, she describes it as just sort of like
I'm Christian Grey, like that.
Not quite a Dave Ross growl.
Well, I can't do not that. Like
right, it's a little. It's,
hi, I'm Christian. Hey.
No, it's definitely it's throaty.
Throaty.
So, that was hot. That was hot and weird and funny.
I think you should really do the audiobook.
I should.
He grabs my pigtails.
He grabs my pigtails and starts to really move.
Okay, Dave Ross's voice. I have something to say.
Sup?
Because I get letters from women saying that they're like, oh my God, Dave Ross's voice. And then I have dudes writing me like, what the fuck? Stop highlighting Dave's voice. Like, guys are like it. Like, I know
really?
That male, deep male voices can like be a little bit, they can trigger a territorial sort of like you're like a dominant male because you have a deeper voice. So I think that your voice triggers.
Really? There are guys that are getting angry that I'm talking?
Or that you're like, when you like sexify your voice, it actually triggers some men and they get like annoyed.
Interesting.
Which I think it's a really interesting thing because I have read in the past that is a sign of, you know, it's like taller men or shorter men. Like there's a certain thing of like, oh, it just doesn't make them feel comfortable. So it's really funny to me. It's funny to me because,
I don't know how to solve that conundrum because I don't dislike, any of those people I've never met. But
at the same time, like it has another effect on people that are attracted to men. like
sure,
many
right.
women.
Well, that's the thing.
Like it's we've talked about visceral. It before. I've confessed to Sandra that your voice hits a certain pitch, and but I have a thing for like low pitched voices in general. Like there's a dog at work that does this growling thing where I'm like, oh, you. He'll be like, oh, roar, 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 roar. And I'm like, and it stirs my loins in this way that there's, shouldn't
happen. I have a gerbil that does a similar thing to me.
But your voice has a very similar pitch where it's like very rolling and gravelly and just does something. It wakes up my ovaries a little bit. I'll be like, what?
Yeah, man, this is awesome. What's happening right now?
So don't take the guys.
No. I mean, I don't. Yeah, there's nothing I can do about it.
It's just
saying.
A fact
sure.
of my observations around certain emails. Now, of course, this is just it's not that many, but it's just like an interesting male female.
It's just a couple hundred.
I think actually taking that into account, one of you should read a passage. You know what I mean?
Oh, God. Actually, we really have to wrap up, so...
Oh, man. Bummer.
No, I mean, if you want to do, like, a short paragraph, Mary, you've got a sexy voice.
I don't have anything here. I got to find something. Like I don't know if I have time.
I like reading things that are mundane in a sexy way. That makes my life more entertained.
Like... 100% carbohydrates or whatever.
Like this bottle. As part of our continuous effort to lessen the impact on our environment, this bottle uses 30% less material than an average of other, you know, and you go on from this water bottle. But I don't know if that's like, I don't know, is that doing anything for you guys out there in the internets? I don't know.
Liked it.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah, you know you like it.
That is a very sexy voice.
Yeah, you like that?
Yes, I do. I told you already. I'm bad at sex.
I don't do that voice only except when I'm feeling not sexy for some reason. I should probably try that in the bedroom. Hey, Mary.
I'm going to chain you now, Anastasia. Give me your right hand. I give him my hand. He turns it palm up, and before I know it, he swats the center with a riding crop. I hadn't noticed it in his right hand. It happens so quickly that the surprise hardly registers. Even more astonishing, it doesn't hurt.
Ooh.
Well, not that much. Just a slight ringing sting.
Oh, that was a terrible... I should try...
This is
a
terrible,
head.
Terrible...
There's a sound.
How does that feel? He asks. I blink at him, confused. Answer me. Okay. I frown. Don't frown. Sorry.
Don't frown.
Very bossy.
I blink and try for impassive. I succeed. Did that hurt? No. This is going to hurt. Oh, wait. This is not going to hurt. Sorry. Do you understand? Yes. My voice is uncertain. Is it really not going to hurt? I mean it, he says. Jeez. My breathing is so shallow. Does he know that what I'm thinking? Sorry, I'm a terrible reader.
Italics time.
He shows me the crop. It's brown plated leather, which I have looked for these crops. I have not been able to find one brown
actually,
crop.
Actually, horse riding.
I've looked on the horse
riding
ones.
My friend just came from a place in the South that has lots of horse places, and he brought back a brown leather crop, not knowing that this was a thing in a book.
No.
So I thought that was interesting. Go to Tennessee, basically, is what I'm saying. So we need to wrap it up. In the end... In summary, I'm glad that there were some wonderful things of self-discovery, like that she liked that when a tie left like marks on her hands from being tied. Yeah, I like that there is that she keeps her pubic hair, so they're eroticizing the fact that she's not shaven, which I really appreciate because I'm really anti, you know. Oh yeah, Pit Stash, right? We were just talking.
Speaking of,
there's a documentary that people are trying to make called Pit Stash. They want to interview me, and they think they should interview you, Mary. But if you Google Pit Stash at Kickstarter, it's a whole thing about how the feeling like you have to remove all your body hair is how that is tied into a society trying to keep you down, et cetera, et cetera. And it's really interesting, actually. Good people making the documentary. If you feel like endorsing that, go to Kickstarter. Hey. But last sentence of summary for are you like who should read this book? Should anyone read this book? Are you yay, nay?
I'm you know, I think whoever has the desire to read this book should read it. And, well, you know, I think anybody who has the desire should open up and read the first page. And then if you want to read more, buy it. But it's a really great introduction for a lot of people into BDSM. But just don't take everything, you know, take it with a grain of salt. Because there's a fair amount of things that are fantastical and unrealistic.
The new book of Topping and Bottoming is a great pair. It's all about how to be dominant and submissive and whatnot.
Great accompaniment to this.
Yeah, you need real information. This is fantasy. Please educate yourself. Don't just kind of start playing in these scenes and not looking up additional information about safe words, et cetera, yeah. et cetera.
That's a great suggestion for a book combo.
Yeah. All right, Dave.
Oh, I didn't read it.
No. I was just saying thank you, Dave, for
thank you.
Tolerating us in this book and being wonderful.
Next week's episode, it will be me, two other guys, talking about the movie Battleship, which opens a whole new world to me into terrible writing. Okay, sorry. Yeah, this is great. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you, Mary.
Thanks for having me back. I always enjoy it.
Sex nerds.
Bye now.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.